Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of Anime Tour Bus. It's me, your non-expert Eric, and who's that sitting right next to me, listener? Oh, hey, what you got there? Is it a recipe for crepes? You know, Metzger, I am a renowned crepe artist. That's one of the many skills that I have. I'm a big Creposaurus Rex.
What's your Instagram handle? Go ahead, plug yourself.
Fuck! I don't do Instagrams for that.
I'm a renowned street crate artist. I don't make them for the gram. I make them in the streets.
I do. I bring them to work sometimes. I make them for friends when they come over. I literally went to an Airbnb and converted people into the way of our Lord and Savior Crepus Christ.
I believe it is Crepus Christi. Use the proper Latin, you mongrel.
Christos a la crepe. that was so stupid. I love me. What's the best recipe you make? Obviously, mine's crepes. But like, what about you? What's the best thing? If you had to win someone over, you said, "Hey, hot stuff. You and the producer were hanging out, but you'd only just kind of met, and you said, I'm gonna woo the producer with one meal." Not knowing anything about like the producer's specific tastes, like let's kind of remove that from the factor.
That's but cheating, like, because I'm so good at this shit that I'm just gonna find out what food you like, and I'm just gonna make you the best version of that you've ever had.
But what's the best thing you make that you like?
Everything I touch is gold in the kitchen, Eric.
Stop it! You're flying too high, Icarus. I'm going to sabotage. No. I am Daedalus, and I will sabotage your wings. You will fall face first into the frying pan.
Well, note to self, never cook anything for Eric ever again.
Your wings are made of wax! And it's getting hot in this kitchen!
I really just am decent at all of the shit that I make.
I lost my analogy. Well, give me the thing you're most proud of then. The dish that you're like, I don't think anyone makes this as good as I do.
I once made a really, really good crawfish bisque.
Ooh, I fucking love me some bisques. Metzger, so obviously there's a theme round why I'm talking about this. Both of our episodes have something real tasty. That's let's say a Bruin. And Mesker, we got a new season, and this is the season of deliciousness.
Hey, listener, we said we were going to bring you more Shangri-La Frontier, but they had a gap episode as they're going between cores, and we decided that we like Delicious in Dungeon more.
So let's go ahead and start talking about Delicious in Dungeon, because we have two new anime episodes. That's right, two different animes. Two. It's a new season.
It's season 13, the unluckiest season of this podcast ever, and we're following the format as laid out by our season forefathers.
Yeah, the founders.
Us.
Anime Washington and animation emancipation of Jujutsu Lincoln.
Jujutsu, you jumped for like 100 fucking years.
Okay. All hail. anyways, so we got laid.
Oh, Eric, what if Lincoln was assassinated because he actually had that ancient jujitsu sorcerer brain in his skull?
Lee Harvey Oswald was the person who...
He killed Kennedy!
Yeah, because the brain's obviously jumping, but Metzger, keep up! Oswald was the next generation of sorcerers!
That's true. Alright, I'm sorry. Also 100 years apart.
I'm not good at the presidents. I was watching this thing about how every podcast has to have two characters, one who is the person who knows things and one who is the stupidest one. That's much dumber than the listener. And Metzger, I'm starting to have some concerns.
What are you talking about? We built the literal premise of the podcast around that.
I, starting to have some concerns that I might be not just the inexpert. That's right. This is an anime podcast where Metzger is the astounding expert in the field of anime, and I, the non-expert, now 13 seasons in, starting to get my yellow belt in anime. I'm about to test for it.
Still doesn't know his American presidents.
Well, that's because that's not anime, Metzger.
Yeah, he had to dump that knowledge to make room for Sugar Apple Fairy Tale.
Now I know a lot about how to make like sugar sculptures and stuff, man. I'm fucking ready.
We should do that sometime,
Mesker. We should have a sugar sculpture off. See what we can.
Yeah, how do you think that's gonna go?
See, well, so listen. One time, Mesker and I had a sew off, but I hadn't come yet into my own in the sewing field, and Mesker, she was already a rehearsed.
That's not what he said when we initiated.
My adorable Cthulhu monster was a work of art, and I still have it to this day.
I also still have the bat that I beat you with.
Yeah, I'm honestly, the most impressive thing about your bat was how you managed to align the pattern, like with its chest and stuff like that. It was very impressive. So we're talking, this is season 13, season of deliciousness, season of delecticality. This is the season where things, they're going to taste good. That's right. It's a new year, new me, new anime. And we're focused on having a delectable time. So, Metzger, let's start with, which one would you like to start with?
Oh, well, you keep talking about Delicious and Dungeon, so let's do that one.
Well, I'm actually talking about both, but we'll get there in a second.
Dungeon Meshi.
Metzger, how long do you think it takes to fucking digest in a dragon's stomach? I am so concerned. My friends are leaving me for weeks alone. Me and this light digestible acid just hanging out. And I already was very hungry.
To be fair, I don't think that she has any expectation of being rescued, right?
Yeah.
In her mind, she sacrificed. She martyred. What we've got going on here is a classic A plot, B plot.
Yeah.
I say that with the utmost authority, as if I have any fucking idea.
So what's our A plot, what's our B plot then?
Our main motivator is, well, the show opens with an adventuring party fighting a dragon. They explain to you the very basics of this world, that one day an old man crawled out from underneath a cemetery and said that he was the long appointed ruler of a once prosperous kingdom under that cemetery, and that his people were being held hostage by an ancient magician, and that whoever could conquer the dungeon and free his people would become their new ruler. And ever since then, it's now full of fucking adventurers going in, mucking shit up, trying to kill the beasts, trying to save the people. I mean, that seems like a really good thing to do, right? To try and save the people.
Mister, when they die, do they come back? I got a little confused.
It seems that way. It seems like you can cast a revive spell. Maybe it will become more clear in the future. I haven't read the manga for this one, so you and I are on the same page. It then cuts to an adventuring party who are attempting to fight, is it a red dragon?
It's a red dragon.
The color of the dragon is somehow significant.
Classic D&D red dragon.
That's why I suggested this for you.
It feels very dungeon D&D-esque, right?
One of the mages is in the jaws of the dragon. Things are not going well. The knight, the tank, he's talking about how he's hungry. They deserve a good long rest after they beat this. But shit's really going
literally
down.
Mid-fight, he's like, oh man, and then we're gonna have to go back for supplies. Like, he's not even helping.
I think he's pretty injured. I think he's laying on a rock pretty messed up.
No, he was just standing there.
Oh, okay. He's got decision paralysis.
He's thinking logistics, like post fight logistics. You don't think about logistics mid-fight. I'm not over here like, oh man, once I get done defending myself, I'm going to have to maybe like get a Jimmy John's. I'm going to have to It's literally what he was thinking.
Yeah, that's literally what you do all the time, though.
I don't... Not in the middle of the fight. Like, almost directly after.
Immediately. Like, at the tail end of the fight. When you... Once you've decided how the fight is going to go, whether in or out of your favor, then you've moved on to what sandwich you're getting.
Well, I do love me some sandwiches. I'm not going to fault the man for thinking about sandwiches off the clock, right? That's your time. That's your time to think about sandwiches. Nobody's going to tell you you can't think about sandwiches on your time.
And with what seems like her dying breath,
yep,
she casts a warp spell on the rest of the party, but she cannot save herself. Apparently, I don't know how the rules work.
Well, dragons, they have, like, this naturally, like, magic-resistant outer layer, so they'll take, like, half damage from magic and certain things. You can't, like, teleport a dragon. You can't, like, resize a dragon, so you can't, like, oh, what if this dragon, instead of being large, was a small dragon and stuff.
How much of you has to be inside of the dragon before...
Greater than 50%. This is actually an issue. If more than 50% of you is in the dragon, then you are functionally inside of the dragon. It's not like okay. a completely...
So, your head and both of your arms is less than 50%.
So we didn't get to see under them robes, but I bet she was... she got them yams, you know, Metzger? I bet she was packing.
Oh, so you're saying that most of her density
was in the butt and the legs,
in the lower half. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a volume thing.
She thick. She yoked.
Because I was like thinking about bones, like how many bones.
Well, if we're gonna talk about bones, then you got more. You got equal number of tarsals and metatarsals compared to your carpals, so that's gonna balance right the fuck out.
Yeah, but then you've also got like shoulder blades and collarbones and the portion of your spine that is your neck.
Fucking clavicles. No one's talking about clavicles. Skull's just one big bone. We're talking, okay, I'll give you mandible.
No, it's multiple plates fused together.
We're not talking about plates, Metzger. Though I used to have
individual bones.
I used to have a plate that was like from the Hercules movie. I miss that thing so much. I bet it would sell for a lot right now.
It won't. It will not. You're wrong. But it's nice to hold a dream. The real thing that we're working towards here, we tell you this, is they decide to go on a rescue mission and they let us know.
Some of them.
All of them. Well, some
of them send their letter of resignation post dragon.
Two of them do immediately resign, which I do kind of feel like is honestly legitimate. Fair. Yeah. It turns out you are not here to hang.
I actually did the math, and it seems like this sucks.
That's how I'm going to quit my next job. So I was crunching some numbers and fuck this.
And then you pull up like an Excel and it does have like a graph on it. And the graph is just like, a mountainous kind of up and down. And then the very last part is just like a big down arrow and says, this is how good of a time I've been having. And you know what? The numbers aren't adding up.
Quantitatively, this blows.
I talked to Derek in accounting, and this was what Derek said, and it's just a picture of Derek, and then he has a speech bubble that says, fuck this.
So I gotta reset.
Yeah.
A majority of the group, fine, if we're gonna be that precise, decide that they want to go on a rescue mission. And they quite literally do not have any money outside of the equipment on their own back. And one of the knight, the brother of the poor girl that's slowly being digested by a dragon, is a bit of a freak. He's got some very peculiar
Mesker, ain't nothing wrong with just being like, look at how they move. I wonder how they taste. You ain't never had a little bit of where you get maybe a little bit of, the cuteness aggression, a little bit of like, My Kit Kat, he's real cute. I'd just take a little bit bite out of him, you know? Just
a little chomp. I'm just gonna cut his feet off and then.
No, that's fucked up. Don't you fucking dare talk about. Not even ironically. He's my beautiful baby boy.
Our dude's got a dungeon edibles guide. Not those edibles.
Honestly, though, that's probably in there somewhere.
There's somewhere in there.
It's a how to survive with what you only got around you kind of situation, right?
Yeah, like it's a Boy Scout guide to eating berries,
which is honestly kind of rules. Like that's cool.
Except for Marcille.
She's got some hesitation.
Chilchunk seems like he'll just kind of go along with whatever as long as he keeps the peace. But Marcille, she thinks eating monsters is nasty.
She's got mid to light level reservations, right? Like hers, she's got some concerns, right?
And they catch themselves a mushroom monster and a scorpion, and they're going to make hot pot. I love hot pot.
I never got that into hot pot. I tried it directly after we started this podcast, just because I'm like, I'm going to be all Japanese now.
And, I really like hot pot at my house. Like, I like to make my own hot pot.
I went to a specialty hot pot place where the woman was very kind to me, and the things were very expensive.
If I were going to do that, I would rather do Korean barbecue.
Man, I fucking love Korean barbecue.
Oh, Korean barbecue is so good.
Mesker, let's start a Korean barbecue podcast.
I can't afford a Korean barbecue podcast.
I can't either. That's why we're gonna put it as a business expense.
They're really doing a poor job at this hot pot. And the book only goes so far. It's not a very good, it's a guide. It's not a recipe book.
It's not all encompassing, right? Like it's going to give you something edible, but as far as delectable, which is we're in the season of delecticality, Metzger. So how do we get it taste good? You know, that's what the season's all about.
We bump into the only fictional dwarf I've ever really liked.
God, well, he fucking rules. I love his weird little nose.
Rules.
I love his nose.
I hate dwarves. I hate how they're written. I hate
Scottish accent all the time.
What society has turned them into, because I feel like we've turned them. I feel like Western society especially has taken the Tolkien dwarf and made it into a weird, washed out stereotype of what it could be.
Absolutely.
And so then, therefore,
there's just not been a lot of iteration on like dwarves themselves. Like they're canonically volcano dweller mine boys who, you know, go around with like a big like hammer or like maybe a pickaxe or something like that, or maybe they're your blacksmiths or whatever. Like they're very much the exact same copy and pastable character that like is
good,
not
people. They're good people. So like I wholeheartedly believe in dwarves, but I hate how they're represented in media.
Yeah.
And so then when we come up to Senshi, I love this guy. And I did before I watched the second
episode. Dude's a little fucking weirdo, and I love him.
I watched the second episode, and when...
I didn't.
Yeah, I know. That was when I got done with the second episode. I was like, I wonder if I can convince Eric to drop Shangri-La Frontier, because I love Senshi so fucking much. Like, he just keeps getting better. And I was really worried that Marcille was
going to be... I thought she was just going to be annoying, right?
I thought she was going to be a bit character, and, like, all of the jokes were going to be made at her expense.
Yeah.
She was never going to grow. And I was afraid that this was going to be too many bits. No, this is going to have really good world development. This is going to have an actual story, even outside of just... this is the little bit of, I haven't been given spoilers. I've just told that it's more than what it looks like.
Yeah. So I don't really. They go on some adventures essentially through the first and second level. They learn how to cook from this little weird dwarf man. It makes something that looks fucking delectable as like an anime. There's a whole thing about how, what's the name of that famous animes that, like, you know, they the moving house one, and then the
Studio
Nausicaa.
Ghibli.
Studio Ghibli foods notoriously are look delectable. There's a whole thing about that of like, oh man, if I could only eat food, it'd just be food in Studio Ghibli films. Like, and like that's fun, right? This food fucking rules in comparison. Look at look at how delectable this
mystical,
is.
Like, not mystical, but it's all got dungeon monsters in it.
I personally think that the first episodes of our podcast, our opening ones of like an anime, are our best ones, because we get to talk about kind of some fundamental different things about a world before we become like kind of too used to it, you know?
Yeah.
We don't take it for. So I want to take advantage of this situation and kind of ask you some interesting questions. The first off is, would you eat food, like berries, plants, whatever, things that are consistently edible and things like that, that you found in a graveyard?
It's a tough question. I want to say yes, but at the same time, there's this weird part of me that feels like I'm making a deal where I didn't understand the contract.
Okay. When asking here, like, I have no, like, you know,
yeah, no, I know
intent.
You're not trying to trick me. I'm telling you my own actual perception of this thing.
That the ghosts might get you?
I think that I've accepted a gift from something that's going to require me to pay up at a later date, and I don't know.
Oh,
that
this is a fae situation.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting take.
Except, I mean, it's a very fae thing, but like, you can do that with the dead as well. If you take from the dead, then they'll come back and take from you. Like,
yeah. But I like the fae analogy.
I mean, it works in the same way. Like,
yeah.
The cemetery does not seem like a place where I would want to take anything with me. I would only want to bring things there. I would bring gifts, or I would bring, you know, like, I had a picnic in a cemetery in October, like, brought good company to the people that were resting there, but I would never take anything back with me.
That's interesting. No, I feel the level of discomfort that she felt in you know.
Yeah,
kind
no,
of
I don't.
Something.
I don't get an ick.
Okay.
I don't get an. There's no ick factor. There feels like there's a repercussion factor.
It's a concern about what will this cost me.
Yeah, or just being disrespectful, I guess.
Yeah. Luckily, I don't respect the living, so.
I'd like to remind, this is your first time here. A few episodes ago, Eric let us know that he shit in a cemetery.
Hey, I followed the Metzger rule. I only left something behind.
I didn't take anything. I only left. Yeah, you left a fucking insult.
No, Metzger, as we learn, sometimes it's important to fertilize the dirt, fertilize kind of the ground, and some plants will grow. I actually thought that was genuinely pretty neat. Like, hey, I can't digest this Venus flytrap situation, but I'm going to strangle this thing to provide future nutrients to the soil that
I'm
in.
I'm going
to
let it rot. There's a lot of plants that actually do that. Like,
that is so cool.
They can't actually digest things, but they'll kill it, and then as it rots, they can absorb its nutrients.
That's genuinely awesome. So yeah, we get a bunch of that, and like a discussion of, okay, what about like a berry that came like from essentially like consuming a man's corpse? Like, a little less of the graveyard situation, more direct man corpse.
Listen, we're all dirt.
Ashes, ashes, berries to berries. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I'm trying to say that, like, if it's not a.
If it's not where a ghost is going to get you.
I guess if I were picking the berries off of the corpse, the same rules would apply. But if you were just something that fed a plant and then that plant fed me, I got no feelings towards it. Like, I'll see dude. Like, I'm on my way.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, so a lot of this show is, I think, going to have more to say about the kind of world that it's in, this kind of weird, quirky adventure world, and how to essentially survive and save money by living off the land. Honestly, this is just kind of a dumpster diving tutorial for how to you know, live off the land and you know, not have to pay for your expensive Jimmy John's sandwich. You can just make a sandwich from this.
We should really move on to the next one.
That's what I'm about to get to. But before we move on, Metzger, listeners gotta know. Hey, you can check us out at Anime Tour Bus on Instagram, anime_bus on Twitter, and animetourbus.wordpress.com. Interact with us, and we'll make sure we make a big deal out of it, and you know, you get your full money's worth. Metzger, this is a season of deliciousness. And Metzger, we had some delectable things occur in this episode. The first...
Are you talking about girls kissing?
Well, Metzger, first, that's going to be on the list. But, Metzger,
Are you talking about the rumbling in your stomach that only human hands...
The only human hands and feet. When you wake up and you think, oh man, that's weird. I got no clothes on and stuff like that. That's, oh man, I must have partied real hard last night. Where the fuck did my hands and feet go? Metzger, I became a
quadruple amputee.
Metzger, I ain't no feet pervert. I ain't no, that's not a thing for me. But I'm also not grossed out about feet. I'll give a foot massage. I don't care. It's not a thing. If you want your feet, that's fine. Whatever. Whatever my partner is into, that fine, that's not a concern. But Metzger, there's something morally and objectively wrong about cutting away somebody's feet, and then you put the hands there with it. How are they supposed to? The one girl was sitting on the ground like she would with normal feet, but instead she ain't got no feet, and she's gesturing around with these little nubs. Ain't got no hands on them. She ain't got no hands, got no feet. That's weird. Somebody making a weird soup out of her hands and feet, or I guess trying to unlock, you know, use them as
an
keys.
Ancient hellfire that will engulf the entire city.
Where did the feet go? Where did they even go? We never get an explanation. They're just trapped in a weird plant thing. Okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Metzger, can I get a synopsis?
In this universe, there is this weird mixture of magic, which is kind of frowned upon, and technology. There appears to be mages that can use magic along with actual witches, which seem like they're the supreme magic users and are awfully untrustworthy. Society does not hold witches in high regard.
For good reason.
And this anime opens with two mysterious characters. One carrying a casket. I'm so upset that I'm out of water. Mm. One that is carrying... No, I'm not going to be able to...
Yeah, grab some water. We can take a second. Okay.
Because my headphones are broken and it takes me forever to put them back on my head. I'm just trying to go fast. Huh. Two mysterious figures, one that holds a casket and one slightly petite, loudmouth blonde girl, and they're looking for a witch. And they are introduced to a young lady who serves the witch. And then a giant shark creature shows up.
And the police have the most reasonable reaction, which is
shoot it with regular guns.
With a gun. Hey, so your bullets wouldn't work on like a polar bear. Like it's the bullets that your police gun is going to use aren't going to work on a polar bear. How's it going to work on a real big Godzilla sized shark? But you know, you don't, we all never know how we're going to react in that moment when we're in the streets as a sworn officer on duty and a big shark tries to take over my town. So like, maybe I can't judge. That's fair. Thank you for that critique.
What you can. Yeah. But I mean, in this instance, it almost seems like the cops are a farce in the city. Like the real crime gets handled by
Spider-Man.
Madam Witch.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Spider-Man in it.
What the fuck?
I'm sorry. I think I watched a different anime. Spider-Man was wearing Under Armour.
Your podcast formula as well.
I'm sorry. Okay, where were we?
And the witch takes care of the giant shark. Man, where I get a little bit lost on this is like, that was a man who had used magic to turn himself into a giant shark creature that was wreaking havoc on the city that was impervious to bullets,
and he was doing it intentionally and also against the witch,
and with the intention of destroying the witch. This was somehow his plan. That left the most holes for me, and I think that it's by the end of this episode, we kind of solve this case, you know? So I don't think you're supposed to think much about it. World building.
Yeah.
This is how much people hate witches. They turn themselves into giant shark beasts and wreck cities.
Honestly, I took a different thing from it. It was to demonstrate the power of the witch. Like, oh, the police can't handle this.
Yeah,
but she does it in one big bolt.
I'm sure that's also what it was, but it kind of is to be like, look at how persecuted witches are.
Everyone cheered up for her. She's well loved.
Yeah.
If anything, she's a reverse situation. It is a whole like Spider-Man taking on the big sand dude or whatever it is. It's a completely opposite situation. Look at how loved this particular witch is. And they're like, witches are always evil. We've been to so many towns and situations, witches are always evil. It's just, how is this witch evil? How is she the evil Spider-Man? And
the little petite loudmouth blonde girl loses her cool and picks a fight with the witch in front of God and everybody. And
yeah,
the cops come for her. And our first-rate mage manages to help them escape in a blanket of crows or ravens. And they get a hotel room and they're doing research. And
I hate when I'm staying at the Super 8 hotel and then I get arrested by every cop in the city because I shit-talk Spider-Man.
We're doing research.
Tell me that wasn't the exact premise. That
kind of is what happened.
We look in books
while the loudmouth blonde girl is just like literally eating cutlery.
And what the books tell us that we solved it 417 years ago, and there was the big witch and she was
Grandmama.
Sealed away. Yeah, how'd you get Grizzly Bear come?
Accused of creating a massive hellfire, and they sealed the curse of the hellfire, and also burned the witch and killed her. And tonight's the anniversary of that. And we're having a big anniversary party.
Yeah.
And it's all girls. It's all young. I would bet virgins. What do you bet?
Oh man, I'm not going to have me like a slut. I'm not going to have me somebody that's sexed up every boy in town, cuz that, you know what?
They lost all their magic.
Their feet ain't gonna be as good.
Everyone knows if you have too much sex, it wears your feet out.
Yeah, from all
it
the
stretches your feet.
Honestly, I feel like I don't really know how sex works. And I've heard that I've had it before, but I still don't understand, like, mechanically how it happens. So anyways, so get you some of the virgin feet. and hands. Don't forget, the hands are just important of a spice, a real salt and pepper situation.
Are two mysterious individuals evade the police and manage to show up just in time to the aftermath of everyone's hands and feet being removed.
And so we have a bunch of girls, essentially. I think it's like 8 girls. They are in this like thing of flowers, and all of these girls have their hands and feet chopped off. They're like covered in like blood circles. Seems to be only one girl seems to be conscious and aware. The rest I thought were fucking dead, but apparently not.
I think, yeah, they're just really drugged. They're still drugged up to the point to where you could take their hands and their feet and them not wake up.
Yeah. And then essentially no flowers directly around them in a perfect circle. Cool. And they're kind of scattered out. And what looks like
those are the locks. I think those are the locks and the
poor girls. Then she makes a big sphere around them, and that somehow unlocks hellfire throughout the city. Probably acting as some sort of sacrifice. We're not given like a clear explanation, but clearly she's using the girls in order to unlock hellfire and cause just a shit ton of devastation throughout the city. Mesker, is there a thing about carrying around coffins? This is the second anime that we've had of someone carrying around a big, big coffin.
I think I just like it, so I push it in front of you.
Okay. So we get a big fight, and Mesker, there's some ways to break a curse.
At least temporarily. There are two permanent ways to break a curse, and that is to kiss your true love. True love's kiss always is going to break a curse.
Right on their feet.
Convince the witch to change her mind.
Yeah, but the old hey, can you play the Uno reverse card? Can you control Z and undo what you just did?
So you can kind of confuse the rules by just kissing the witch, at least for a little while. Like
kiss curse, a witch.
The curse gets confused if you kiss a witch, and it
true
is...
True love's witch.
Yeah, that. Exactly. Nailed it. A+.
So,
so she does. She almost dies in the fucking process. She gets caught on fire, she gets impaled, all of this shit, but she still smushes those lips against the witch. And a big coffin opens.
Mesker, I get it. Like, I too like to girls that like to say that they're witches, and maybe they collect like a lot of like rocks or like spell books or whatever and stuff like that. First off, I'm convinced that's like a little bit of autism, like, because you got a lot of rocks, and also. Every society as a whole, you say, I'm a witch. And society as a whole is like, yeah, she's a witch, I guess. But like, one dude kind of likes trains a little bit. We're like, something's up. I'm convinced there's something going on here. But
would you like to know the real issue?
Yeah, give it to me.
Is that all of autism is based off of studies that were only performed on young men.
Yeah,
young
I know. Males. Women tend to express autistic traits a bit differently. Yeah.
Women were literally told they weren't allowed to have autism.
First, they don't get voting rights. Then they don't get autism. Take that, women.
So if you're
hogging all the autisms for ourselves.
So if you're a horse girl, that just means that you're weird and you don't get any accommodations for that.
Yeah, if you get weirdly fixated on horses, that's normal. And if you do,
it's not normal.
Run the races and stuff, like pretending that you are the horse.
Come on, we all knew one of those girls. Right?
I'm speaking about one particular girl. Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, like, and also if I'm convinced like girls real into witchcraft, whatever, something's up. But also there's something about like those girls too that I'm just like, hey, what's going on, girl? What's up? Hey, maybe I'm into girls with just an ever so slight amount of autism. Maybe that's something I didn't know about myself. But also, I get it. Kind of want to maybe kiss those black lips. Put those dark, witchy lips on mine. I get it.
My biggest turn on is a girl with autism. Like fucking Eric.
So anyways, I kind of get it. But then one thing that I can't... So, Mesker, I'm all about, like... So part of my experience in being the inexpert in anime, right, is trying to relate it back to my everyday life. And kind of see where they're coming from in comparison. And, like, I get it, right? Like, sometimes you just want to kiss those juicy, spellbound lips. I get it. What doesn't happen to me is that I... turn into someone who climbs out of coffins and then stomach punches people real, real hard into the sky.
Okay, so you want to know the bit that I was going to try and do?
Yeah, go ahead. Give it to me.
Is that the character walks out of that coffin, like the door flies open and walks out of that coffin shirtless.
Yep.
And I imagine that's how you open the door and walk out of the bathroom after having taken a really good shit.
Fucking God. Just ripped. My abs looking tight. You can see the sinews in my muscle. And really it was just the fact that my Arby's came round through.
Yeah.
My dungeon, my delicious dungeon Arby's has gone full cycle. Oh man. So yeah, she turns and she kisses the girl. The curse is kind of, I don't know, repressed.
Temporarily lifted.
Yeah, she's taking her HIV meds for the curse, and the meds come in the form of a kiss. That means that she gets to turn into a big dude with muscles who's apparently the primary predator of witches. And the witch doesn't recognize, so we're not given any exposition about, like, what this thing is.
Because that won't come until way later.
And that makes sense. This is the one that Metzger's read the manga for. So, we get, like, essentially the mechanics of what's going to be the kind of theme in this thing. Hunt down the witch.
They're laying the mysteries.
Hunt down the witch. Kiss the witch's lips. Turn into the big creature. Fuck up the witch. Take her back to our floaty base?
No, I mean, that's just an airship.
Okay. I didn't know if we're capturing the witches and bringing them in.
She is essentially arrested by the Order.
Does she get brought on to the big floaty base?
Yes, uh-huh. It's not a base, it's a fucking plane. She got loaded on Air Force One.
Okay.
And they're gonna take her to witch prison.
Azkaban.
Sure. Okay. So she's been captured by the Order, which is an organization of magic, for magic, by magic.
Yeah, three magics.
But I don't think that it's super... I don't think that this organization is ever, like, legally recognized in any capacity throughout the anime.
More of a club, some might say.
Like, it's definitely kind of like a weird underbelly sort of. They're like the Illuminati.
Classic. So yeah, that's the basics of this anime. We're setting up some questions, right?
Yeah.
We're setting up some questions to later answer. And we hope that we've answered some questions for you, first and foremost. We hope that whatever you're eating, it tastes delicious, it fills you up, and is nutritionally valuable for you. If it doesn't, maybe... So some people might be allergic to hot sauce, Masker.
Okay. Some people you can have hot sauce, then just add hot sauce.
Or, like, freaking go outside and find, like, a weird crab or a beetle... And just, like, grind it up. See what happens, you know?
Some people can't eat shellfish.
Fuck. And we hope that maybe we've unlocked something for you. Maybe you're in defeat now. Until next time. Bye.